to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and it's me, Richie T, joined with Janae Manite, and here in just a moment, we should have the young DJ Rob joining us as well. You're going to need to pull that to your face, Janae Manite, because that's not going to do you any good. There you go.
If I must.
Because having it all the way over there doesn't do you any good.
I was just going to yell through this whole episode.
Oh, perfect. Great. Those are great episodes. That's like last week with Julie Di Azevedo, when you hear her just fine, and you hear me going...
Oh, those are my favorite episodes.
That's the worst.
Not at all annoying.
No, because here's the thing. I can't, when we record some of these, I can't listen to them.
Okay.
And so because I can't listen to them until afterwards,
you can't check your
I can't
levels.
Check to see how it is. And then it's even worse. Like it's bad enough for you listening to it because you're like, holy crap, this sounds terrible. But add on to that a whole level of I feel embarrassed because this is what I do for a living. And so people are listening to it going, what an idiot. Can't figure
quality,
this out.
Richie, quality,
yeah.
That.
Only the highest quality for me. Speaking of high quality, how about our new website? Have you checked that out?
It's so pretty.
TheCulturalHall.com is where it's at, and that's where it's been. But it's kind of divided out a little bit. You can see articles of news. That's one whole thing. Then you can see episodes and blogs. That's a whole other thing. And then you got the Mormon News Report all in its individual thing.
It's very clean.
Yeah, I think so.
And it
still some
to be
tweaking.
Cleaned just a little bit. Do we have the folks at London Design to thank for that?
We have the folks at OneDayWebsiteUtah.com.
One Day Website Utah. You guys did a wonderful job because it really does look so nice.
Yeah, the folks at London Design do our images and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
It was the thing through the day job thing. Otherwise, I would use LennonDesign.com.
There you go.
And he appreciates the plug, I'm sure.
Well, I do what I can.
Man, there's tons of stuff to go into today's episode. First of all, I've got lots of emails. I haven't shared an email in a good long while, so I've got that coming in. But then also, I've got a message from Carly, who does our... Pinterest page.
Oh,
follow
yes.
The Cultural Hall on Pinterest. She sent me a message that says, reminders for articles of news today. And then there's like 10.
She's like keeping us on task.
Yep. Remember that we have to do conference predictions today. That includes the apostles.
I forgot my crystal ball, though.
Well, you've got a magic eight ball, so that's just as good.
I do have one of those, okay.
And we've got to announce the book club date, and that it will be on Periscope. So let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
The book club is going to be at Sandy City Library here in the state of Utah. It'll be on the 8th of October from 6 to 8 p.m., and it will be available on Periscope. So if you're familiar with that app or you're on Twitter at The Cultural Hall, you'll be able to view a portion, maybe the entirety, but a portion of the book club. We're doing the first book from Elder Lund, Gerald Lund, so you can check that out. And that actually weaves right into the first email that we've got, which is from Amanda.
Let's
that
hear
says,
it.
I just listened to the first book club episode with Gerald Lund. And now I am very excited for all the other future book club episodes. I loved Richie and Joni interviewing Brother Lund, and it made me want to go out and get the book tonight. I, however, can't attend the meeting on October 8th, but I love this new project that you guys are doing. Thank you all for putting on such a great show. I would be very sad, says Amanda, if you ever discontinued it. That's it. So that email from Amanda.
Was there talk of us discontinuing this show?
Every day there's thoughts in my head about discontinuing this.
Every day.
So let's see. Let's go back to the checklist. So announce book club date and that it will be on Periscope. It's free to attend. We encourage, though, it's not necessarily mandatory that you've read the book, but we encourage you to read the book prior to it.
Probably,
and now people are going to say, well, what's the name of the book? And I'm going to go, it's Elder Lund's, and I got to look it up right now. I'm going to theculturalhall.com, which you can do as well, and find the exact title of the book. So we'll get back to that in a second. Plus, we also have to do, here it is. It's volume one of the Fire and Steel series by Gerald Lund, and it's called A Generation Rising.
Nice.
So people need to pick that up and be able to read it. Join us on the 8th of October. Also, there will be some music and refreshments on the 8th of October as well. Music from Jessica Freck, who's been on the show a couple of times beforehand. And you can come hear her play. She's going to bring her guitar and do some nice acoustic acoustic stuff.
Some beautiful acoustic music. And food. You got to get, you're going to get a whole bunch of
Mormons refreshments, because it's in the library. We can't, you know, we can't be.
It's not like a potluck with casseroles and.
No, I don't think so. Although you're welcome to bring a treat. If you plan on attending, please bring some sort of sweet treat.
Some pot of chili.
No. Someone bring a crock pot of chicken noodle soup.
I'll look on Pinterest and find something.
Yeah, there's gotta be book club meals.
I'll hold up my Pinterest mom status and make some cake pops.
I'm surprised that you haven't already. Actually, I'm surprised that you haven't already.
I didn't show up right here with an apron on.
Yeah, and I would have thought that you would have. But
tray.
I mean, I guess we're all surprised occasionally.
I just fall short.
Yeah, listen, but you can be perfected.
It's hard.
Let's just fix ourselves, okay?
Okay.
This email from Michelle Stevens Williams.
She's special.
It's a hyphenated name.
She's extra special.
Says, hey, I've been meaning to write you for a while about this subject that is very tender in my heart. I was listening to episode 184 from July with Rachel Hunt. I have so much respect for this woman who is working to find and bring awareness to Heavenly Mother. This is very tender to me because this very issue is one of the signs that led me to leave the church. When I was a little girl, I said my prayers like we are taught, the usual, now I lay me down to sleep. I never gave prayer or Heavenly Father a second thought. I said my little prayer each night on my knees, then climbed under the covers to sleep. As I got older, I prayed differently and had my own conversation with Heavenly Father. When I became an adolescent, it just made sense to me that I needed to pray separately to my Heavenly Father. You might say that this came out of a type of faith crisis. I was about 12 years old and struggled with the idea of a male deity while I was facing very female issues. To resolve this in my own mind, it came to me that I could pray to my Heavenly Mother, whom I had always been taught was there and that existed. No one had ever told me not to pray to my Heavenly Mother. I started to say three prayers each night on my knees at the side of my bed. I said a prayer to Heavenly Mother, a prayer to Heavenly Father, and a prayer to both of them. It made sense to me to speak with each of them the way I spoke with my own earthly parents. My life was much easier after I did this. I attended church every Sunday, and when I was of age, I enrolled and attended in seminary. I read my scriptures every morning before school, and I was one of the top students when it involved scripture mastery. I wanted to serve a mission. I was dedicated to my life in the LDS church. Something changed when I was 16 or 17. I still can't place it, but I found journal entries and such that state that I was struggling with my testimony, that I wasn't sure if the church was true or not. I'm sure many teenagers have the same thing happen, so I wasn't alone. Where my story might differ from others is this. I was listening to General Conference the weekend of October in 1991. I very much respected the general authorities and their counsel regarding Heavenly Father's wishes and plans for us. Most of conference I listened on the radio in my bedroom, but for some reason I needed to go downstairs for something. I was walking down the stairs into the room where my mother was watching conference on TV when I heard Gordon B. Hinckley, then the first counselor in the presidency, say, however, in light of the instruction we have received from the Lord Himself, I regard it as inappropriate for anyone in the church to pray to our Mother in Heaven. I was shocked. I heard the words and sat down on a stair, almost falling. My breath caught. My mom looked over at me and asked me if I was okay. I'd asked her if I'd heard right, if I'd heard that we're not supposed to pray to our Heavenly Mother. She affirmed that that was what was said. I told my mom I was okay and went back to my bedroom. I couldn't get that statement out of my head. Something I had done every day for at least 4 years was wrong. I was devastated. I think it was then that I realized I had been wearing a sweater. The ends were already frayed with my shaken faith, and this statement from someone in the presidency of the church pulled at those loose threads. My faith and foundation quickly unraveled. After that, I dreaded going to church and to seminary. I got through both of them over the next year and graduated from seminary, but I wasn't the same person that I had been before. I no longer enjoyed scripture chases and reading. I changed from the eager student always asking questions to constantly looking for what was wrong or desperately trying to find the light. I didn't feel safe turning to my earthly parents, and since I wasn't supposed to pray to Heavenly Mother, I didn't feel like I could pray to my godly parents either. I was in a spiritual darkness that I couldn't seem to get out of. I know this is a long story. It was a long time before I found my own light, my own place in this world. As I listened to Rachel Hunt, it was like a little light began to shine for me again. This small glimpse that Heavenly Mother is there and that there are others who desperately seek her is a light to me. Thank you so much for you sharing this light with me. Thank you so much for what you do at least once a week. This pod show helps me learn about what I once knew, what is currently going on in the church. I was born into Mormonism, and I am a cultural Mormon. Your work and the work of all the guests' hosts is very appreciated by me, and thank you for having enlightened guests like Rachel Hunt. Michelle, formerly Stevens, but now Stevens Williams.
Jeez, that was long.
Right?
Gosh. That was like a novel.
I was thinking about actually making it a blog post, but although a little bit lengthy, pretty awesome as far as a story goes. DJ Rob kind of came in halfway, so I apologize for his insensitivity.
No, I am insensitive.
You jerk.
Well, I started Periscope. Everybody's like, where are we? What is this? Are we okay to share this on Periscope?
Why not?
Yeah, we're showing this on Periscope, folks.
You can, anyone who's following us on Periscope is who's going to know, because we didn't tell people we were going to do it on Periscope.
But people are wondering, where are we?
Yeah, we're recording it. That's where we are, and we should leave it at that.
All right.
A place that
we're able to record
the recording
stuff.
Of the pod show.
Yeah. Here we go. How about
another
this?
Email?
How about this? Yeah, there's a bunch of emails this week.
Oh, boy.
It's all right.
It's email week.
Hey, Mr. Positive, thanks for being here, pal.
But people are giving us loves on the Periscope.
They like it.
Well, at least one person is.
At least one person.
Okay, this one from Nate. Nate writes, hey, Richie, do you guys have plans to have Al Fox Caraway on? Please let me know.
Wasn't she on twice?
She's been on three times, and she was two episodes ago. But I saved his email because of the rest of the stuff that he said.
Okay.
He said, I just started listening to the podcast a couple months ago, so the library I pull from didn't go that far back. As I was listening to this week's article's news, the lady that you had mentioned some things Elder Ballard said, and one teaching you children that others not of our faith or look different. I don't know.
What?
And one teaching you said that children that others not of our faith or look different, we need to teach that they are children of our Heavenly Father, much like us, and to love them just the same. That's not why I saved this email either, but here's why I saved it. I used to hold a calling in our young men's deacon quorum, and I would occasionally hear comments from the boys down-talking people who do not hold our beliefs or look like us. So I would try and let them know that being accepting of others and loving them might be the most Christ-like and best missionary tool available. You know, the example of the grandpa that smoker drank, but that the kid learned more from him about honesty and treating people right than any other person in their life. And that's why I kept it.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for the podcast and articles. Perhaps I will start to comment more, says Nate. Thank you, Nate.
And from our Periscope listeners, people want more Jeffrey.
People want more Jeffrey?
Yes.
Is it Jeffrey?
No.
Is it...
What? Okay.
I think Louise said it. Jeffrey, this is Richie's brother. Did you listen to Articles of News 2 weeks ago?
I loved Jeffrey.
Well, we loved him because he put Richie in his place.
Yeah.
That's why we loved him.
But I really enjoyed listening to him.
Oh, yeah. He's fun. He's fun.
He is good.
I like him.
We can have him on the divorce panel.
Yeah. I'm not anti my brother. He's very good. I like him a lot.
But I loved the chemistry that the two of you had back and forth. It was good.
So, but if we get Scotty on, what happens there?
That's a whole different thing.
Dun, dun, dun.
You don't know my brother Scott, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
He's great.
I don't know any of your siblings personally.
He's great and completely different than my brother Jeffrey. Yeah.
He's a muscle man.
Yeah.
He's the bodybuilder.
Yeah.
But he makes Richie cry.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
He does.
Just kidding.
He makes me cry. What? What? Can't I cry?
It's okay.
So,
what
Rob is alluding to. Thanks, Rob.
This is the best.
My brother and I lived with each other before I got married.
Jeffrey
we lived
or
in
Scott.
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 The one who makes me cry.
Oh.
It was like living with my best friend. Like literally like my best friend. My brother Jeffrey and I are close too, but in different ways. But it was literally like living with my best friend, and we would just be stupid and, you know, any sort of like dumb bros thing that you would do, me and my brother would do. Mm-hmm. Like we'd put short shorts on and ride a scooter, and I'd hold on to the back of him and just dumb things, right?
That sounds like lots of fun and memories to me.
And so when I got married, he was the one who gave the toast at my wedding. And I'm assuming that that's what you're alluding to, but maybe not.
Yes.
So my brother gave the best man's toast at my wedding.
And they just looked at each other and just started crying.
At each other and just started crying. Just bawling.
They weren't even saying anything. They were just looking at each other.
Oh, okay. So he makes you cry because you love him so much.
Yeah.
Not because he's a
bully.
Bully.
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, now I gotta meet Scotty.
He's great. But then what Rob doesn't know is that when, so my wife and I, we went on our honeymoon and we get back. And that first time back, and it's kind of this dose of reality. There were some really heavy doses of reality that first day that we were back and then living under the same roof. And in my frustration, I started crying and had to call my brother at like 1 a.m. the first night back from our honeymoon.
Oh, that just kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
It was all fine. And in retrospect, it's such a silly thing, but it was one of those things where it was just like,
how am I going to live with this woman that squeezes the toothpaste wrong?
It was almost like that. It was the door shut thing. I have to have the door shut when I sleep.
That.
Yeah.
And she has
to have it open so I can hear the kid.
That's too funny.
So, thanks.
All right.
Thanks for that.
I'm sorry. It's not funny. It's
no.
We are getting really random comments on Periscope. Go ahead with your email.
This one from Dr. Paul White.
All right, Dr. Paul.
He's a professor up at the University of Utah.
Sweet.
And he's a black Catholic.
Wow. And he listens to us.
Yeah. Because he loves us.
Or you.
Nah. He probably, I think if he was being honest, he would tell you that he loves everyone else way more than he loves me.
Oh, okay.
A quick note on a few items. Number one, it's nice to hear Dan the Laptop Man again as a sponsor.
Oy.
Two.
We're going to talk about that.
If you or the panelists would like to learn more about microaggressions and other related issues of prejudice and stereotyping, I literally teach a course on it.
Yeah, microaggressions. I had never heard that term until, who brought that up?
That was a couple weeks ago in an Articles of News. Right
now. Was that Articles of News? Or?
Yeah, it was Articles of News.
But I had never heard that term before.
You going to define that for me? Because I...
It's like kind of racist, but not...
Oh, like passive-aggressive racism?
Mm. Or kind of...
Micro? Just a little bit racist?
Yeah, just a little bit racist.
Just a little bit racist.
Oh, my gosh. You
guys. Yeah, look at it. It's kind of... It's
You know what? Let's have him as a guest, and he can talk about it.
Oh,
I think that'd be great.
Calling you out, Dr. Paul.
And I would love to talk to him about the Pope.
Okay. Yeah.
If he's Catholic.
So we got to get him quick, then.
Yeah, let's make it timely.
I literally teach a course on it. Stop by the U when class is in session. You're more than welcome. Number three, episode 189 is one of my favorites.
Who is that?
I'm looking it up. 189. Hold on. Hold, please. It probably says here.
Does he say it? Yeah, keep going.
I want to say that it is... Oh, episode 189 is Meet These Mormons. It's the one that I have
three...
He says, remember, I'm a lifer of Pioneer Stock back when it was just a podcast and not a show in podcast form. Plus, going back to when I wrote in that Lauren was Laura and semi-offended her after the first episode. So he's he's from the beginning.
He's a lifer.
He says, it was good stories and your conversation with and advice to Cadet Nikel Cassador was very moving and reminds me of why we put up with the Davis the Clown side of you. Anyway, he says, I should finish up episode 190 sometime soon. That's the one with Phil Lyman, and probably feel urged to write in again. Thanks from back in here in the folding chairs, Paul.
So... Your clown name is Davis?
Yeah.
Is that your alter ego clown name?
That's my clown name is Davis.
I have no idea.
You didn't know that?
No. Is that where the rainbow pants come into play?
No, the rainbow pants are from college, way before Davis.
I know.
Yeah.
But now you can use them.
Yeah, now I can use them as Davis.
Yeah.
And Rob didn't even know.
I had no
idea. Rob, you're my best friend. Will you pay attention to my clown name?
No.
No?
He's currently offended that you didn't call him at 1 a.m. the day after you guys got home.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah. You're okay with that.
I think he called me the morning after my wedding, though, or something like that. I have the message somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like the same completely inappropriate message. I'll have to find it.
I want to listen.
I'm pretty sure I have it on my phone still.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to hear it.
Or maybe it wasn't inappropriate. I don't know. I just remember you calling, and I was like, what the heck? I'm on my head. What the?
Of course I'm going to call you, though.
Okay.
This email from Michael, and he talks about my brother Jeffrey. Says, this email is for your brother Jeffrey. I totally get his argument. The name Jeffrey is like my name, Michael. I recently started a job at my company, but at a new building, so I have to meet everyone. When I introduce myself, they immediately assume that I want to be called Mike. This guy's name's Michael. It's like I don't have a choice in this decision. I introduce myself to someone and they introduce me, and they in turn introduce me. Hey, Bob, this is our new IT guy, Mike. Robert is another one of these names. It seems like there are certain names that are not allowed to be the full name.
Yeah.
Just as long as no one calls me Mikey, however, I'm good. Also, your story about being in the nursery was hilarious. I'm glad you didn't sub for my daughter's nursery class because she would have scratched your eyes out, writes Michael. Nothing personal. She just does that to all the other kids and leaders. Anyway, thanks for the story, which gave me a great laugh on the way to work the other day.
Wait a second. He's just perfectly okay that his daughter scratches everybody's eyes out.
Yeah. I think you come to accept it, don't you?
No.
Yeah, that's my kid.
No.
As always, I love the show and very much enjoyed the 5 episodes of that 1 week. Thanks for all the hard work that you guys do. And I'm excited that Just Joni gets to be the driving force behind the book club. Don't forget, October 8th at Sandy Library in Utah. I look forward to every episode. Great work, Michael.
2 more emails?
I think I'll just do one because this is from Kevin. And then we'll go around.
Kevin! Whoa, we got to hear Kevin.
No, I'm going to share Kevin's. I don't think I'm going to share this one.
Okay.
I'm going to share this part of this one. This is from Steve. He says, have you ever thought about giving show listeners honorary callings? Even certain interesting guests that you could give honorary callings. You could have an entire award where you can call and release people and then have them on the podcast from time to time. You could even create imaginary callings like the ward DJ or the ward modesty coordinator. Perhaps they can have counselors
ward
or
modesty. Do we need one?
That's so funny.
But no, I like that idea. We'll have to think of ideas.
Steve?
Submit your ideas for ward callings in
honorary
the cultural
callings.
Hall.
Steve, nice job. I like that.
This one from Kevin. Hey, Richie and others. I don't know if you received my
We're
last
others.
Email.
Others.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. They can't.
Hey, speaking of others,
they don't mean anything.
Have you made the peanuts thing? So
no,
Janae made a peanuts thing.
Uh huh.
She's black.
I know.
I messed up.
There's
I
a new Peanuts.
It.
You got to give some focus on this. There's a new Peanuts movie that's coming out,
and you can peanutize
do an
yourself
avatar of
your peanuts
of peanuts.
And she's awfully dark.
I made my you can choose your skin color. So
right.
I chose one that was like a little bit darker because I'm just a little bit brown.
Ethnically vague, right?
But,
ethnically vague. Janaymanite.
And but when I saved it, when I went to save it and then pull it up again, it saved tons darker than what I chose. So I'm like, well, dang it. Like,
she just had
really
a good tan.
Anymore. No, it's not really me. So,
will you share that with Anna so people can see
it's
it?
It's pretty funny.
You follow us on Instagram at the Cultural Hall.
So sorry, back to Kevin.
So Kevin says, I don't know if you received my last email or not, but I really think that you should have Jana Lee Tobias on your show. Now, Jana Lee Tobias is the mother of the sister missionary who we followed on her mission. Remember, she would write letters.
Oh, okay.
We would share them.
Okay.
Jana Lee Tobias is mom.
Oh, Sister Tobias.
She's the leader
that's
of a group.
How you got to say it?
Sister Tobias.
Yes.
She's the leader of a group called Women Against Gun Control and is also very pro-environment. DJ Rob would like that last part.
Ooh, I would love that. She's very pro-environment?
Yes.
She's against gun control.
Correct.
Whoa.
Wait, women against gun...
Women against gun control, but very pro-environment.
So she's like Lara Croft. She's just like gun-toting, running through the rainforest.
But saving the rainforest.
Saving the rainforest. While
so she doesn't fall into all conservative viewpoints.
I bring this up because on an earlier episode this summer, Lindsay said that she wouldn't let her husband carry a gun in the house.
Yeah?
I do not fault Lindsay for this. There's a lot of fear about guns because of the gun control advocates and the press. Let's go to another topic, says Kevin.
Okay.
I'm still single. I'm in a mid-singles branch. It seems like I'm one of the few guys that ask girls out. I'm not saying that's true. However, a few girls I am friends with complain to me that they don't get asked out enough.
Uh-oh.
A lot of girls say guys are too picky.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've seen it both ways. I can tell you that I seem to have respect from some of the women for asking girls out.
Yeah. Sorry.
Inappropriate.
Sorry.
I'm not trying to brag or come off as a ladies' man, but I think we need to ask to find out why guys aren't asking out girls. Or if, in fact, this is true. I'll write to you later, Kevin.
So, Kevin was at a singles activity that Britt was at.
Oh, yeah? Britt, who writes for the Cultural Hall from time to time?
Or...
And shares stuff occasionally?
Yeah. So... He encountered Kevin. They didn't talk.
They didn't talk. He just saw Kevin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And he said he almost caught himself on fire. There was like a bonfire.
For real?
Yeah. Oh. I think he had like a blanket or something.
And was sitting too close to the fire.
Yeah.
Was there lots of people there?
I think so.
Okay.
But Kevin's safe.
Oh, nice. Good.
And Kevin gets himself out there. You know, Kevin's a lot better than some single men out there.
For sure.
He gets himself out there.
Let's go around the horn real quick and see what's up, what's new. Doesn't have to be something new.
Doesn't have to be. I've got a whole bunch of things we can
talk
about.
Oh, boy. Talk about Florida.
Okay.
Talk about...
Went to the Disney World with the kids, right?
Disney World.
How is that? We're going in a week.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we're going in a week.
I wish I was going in a week because when I went last, what was it, 2.5 weeks ago? Oh, my gosh, it was so hot.
Mm-hmm. But parks weren't crowded, though. You went in the right time of year.
It wasn't too bad. It was nice. It wasn't like...
But it was super hot.
And we had zero lines. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely good as far as that goes. But, oh, goodness. It was so hot. If you had told me... If anybody really knows me, they know that I love Disney and all of that. Mm-hmm. So to get to go to Disney World finally was a big deal.
Yeah.
But if you had told me at like noon that we were done and we were rolling out, I would have been like, all right, cool, let's do it.
So the heat just kind of took you over and then you went back to your rooms? And
unfortunately miserable.
Yeah.
Because you took your kids.
No, why does...
Because kids make Disneyland Disney World miserable.
No, they were... Oh, my gosh. They were delightful. It was so...
Good.
Okay, we did have, like, the best parenting moment ever.
Okay.
When my just barely 4-year-old son met Mickey Mouse.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Did he light up? He didn't get scared?
No, he lit up like a Christmas tree. He was jumping up and down, and he's, like, wringing his hands together, and he's, like, grabbing his shorts, like... Oh, he's just like, it was the most...
Did you wait in line for him?
Yeah, we waited. We waited.
Well, you have to. You can't be a kid like that. You can't be like, hey, that's Mickey. Well, come on, let's go. We got this Space Mountain we got to run.
Well, I'm just making sure because I didn't know if you actually waited in line or saw a show or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no. So we waited in line to actually get to have like a full-on interaction meeting with him.
Kind of like people did this weekend with Captain America.
What?
Salt Lake Comic Con here in Salt Lake. Jeez.
Just kidding. I have a lot of friends who geeked out on that, especially my niece.
Wait, Salt Lake Comic Con already happened?
Yeah, that was last weekend.
Oh. Chris Evans, that is.
Too bad. I missed out on that. But anyway, so yeah.
Okay.
It was really hot, but it was great, and it was adorable to watch him meet him. And even my little... the year and a half, the little son, he doesn't watch TV yet, and so he doesn't know all of the different movies and characters from those, but he definitely does know who Mickey is.
Yeah.
So even him, we've got the most precious little picture of him, like, he's holding on to the velvet rope, like, you wait, it's like all fancy and nice, you're behind the velvet rope until it's your turn to go meet Mickey,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding on to that, and you see him, like, teeny tiny little, you know, he's what? A foot and a half high.
Yeah.
You see him lean to the side and peer around someone's like legs or something and get his first glimpse of Mickey. And you see him, he sees him and then he realizes who he is and his eyes just get all big and he makes this audible like, oh, like...
Did you get video of it?
It was precious. No, I'm so sad.
My husband's
like, I got a couple pictures, but my husband really was like, let's just live in the moment and just enjoy it.
I guess sometimes you have to.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we did. So I do have a couple little pictures, but they're not super like quality and nice. It was a really neat room that they took us to.
You have to go to a room?
This be super long.
How long was the wait? An hour?
No, not nearly.
That's good.
We kind of got hooked up with like the whole fast pass situation and then someone that was like, I just kind of batted my eyes and was like, please.
I'm Jasmine.
Yeah. We ended up only waiting about 15 minutes.
When I was at Disney World and I got to see Mickey and Donald and everybody, I didn't wait more than like 4 minutes.
Okay.
For any of them.
Were they just out?
They were like stationed at a spot, but
yeah.
Okay. I must
it just
have just
depends
caught
on
them
where
like,
you go.
Like when
yeah.
I got them or whatever, but it was
so in
was
Disney
quick.
World, as soon as you go in, there's a big grand theater and it's Meet Mickey. It's
which park are we talking about?
I'm talking about Magic Kingdom.
There you
I'm
go.
Sure I would assume that there are other places and other opportunities to meet Mickey Mouse, but
yeah.
if you want to go and for the express purpose of meeting Mickey
yeah.
Mouse, you go to the
I haven't been there in a couple of years. I don't know where they house Mickey now. They used to house him at back in Toontown, but not anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a it's actually really, really nice. And like I said, the velvet ropes and everything's really cute. You move through, and then finally you're in the room with Mickey, and it's you wait. There's like maybe two parties waiting just that are right there in the room, so you can see him and like, all that anticipation. And then you finally get to, here's another thing, animatronic head on Mickey. So his eyes move up and down, his mouth moves up and down, and I've got all the technology where he will actually answer questions that the children ask him or to them. It was the most lifelike experience you can probably
They've changed
get.
It. It's a game changer now.
It was great. And as far as the whole magic goes, oh my gosh, it worked wonders, and my son was
That's awesome.
On cloud nine. It was precious. And even my husband noted, even when he met like the adults and me and my husband, you know, walked up, he like shakes your hand and is like, thank you for coming back. It's so nice to see you again, kind of thing. Because he just, you know, you assume that any adult has probably, this isn't their first time meeting Mickey Mouse. So it was just, it was special. It was really cute and special. And so good times.
Was it special?
Extra special, fantastic.
It was cute and special with her little ones. And it was fantastic.
No, that's awesome.
What about for you, Rob? What do you got?
What do I got? We celebrated our anniversary a week ago.
Yeah, I know. 2 years, right?
Yeah, 2 years.
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Is that going all right?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
it's
yeah,
hard
we're
because
fine. Why do you ask? What, have you heard something?
Wait,
no,
what
we're
day,
good.
What day is your anniversary?
It's the 21st day of September.
21st day of September. Okay. See, you're 4 days off of us.
Oh, yes. And so,
What'd you do?
What did I? Well,
they went to Vegas, of course.
Yeah, it was a DJ convention, wasn't it?
Yeah, DJ convention.
It was an anniversary convention.
Ah, anniversary DJ convention.
2 weeks ago, I went to the wedding MBA convention.
Sure.
Which is for wedding vendors. And then it was her birthday on Sunday, and then our anniversary the next day.
Did you do that on purpose? Like get all of her celebrating out in 2 days?
Kind of.
48 hour period?
Kind of. That was the date I wanted, though.
To be married?
21st day of September.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Well, why is that?
The 21st day of September. Because of that song.
That's cheesy and dorky and cute, and I love it.
Cheesy, dorky, and cute. Awesome.
And special, too.
Special. There we go.
For your little
Super
ones.
Special.
Yeah.
And then the next day we went, on the 22nd, we went to 42nd Street.
Yeah. Do you hear those happy snapping, tapping feet?
Yeah.
Whatever the words are?
Yeah. It's a 42nd Street.
Yeah. That song is like.
From what?
The whole musical is just like tap dancing.
Yeah.
It's just like an excuse for people to tap dance.
You theater people. I'm so out of the loop.
Yep.
And then we went to this place called the Melting Pot, which is overrated. You're basically boiling meat.
Yeah, it's fondue.
Yeah, it's fondue.
Yeah, you know why you go to the Melting Pot?
We put the fun in fondue.
You know why you go to the Melting Pot?
Or for the experience.
Like that? So that your wife can say, we went to the Melting Pot. That's what you're paying for.
Yeah. She had already been and I had never been, so I was excited for it. Right. But afterwards I was like, you know what?
You were letting
We didn't pay full price either.
Okay. Of course,
you got a Groupon.
I wouldn't anticipate that you would.
No, we had like a coupon.
Have you ever been to Ruth's Chris right here?
We got a coupon for that too.
You
got
to go there.
That's our next place.
That's a place you will not.
That's
be
our next place.
With. It's expensive.
But yeah, the fondue was good. The cheese fondue was good.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you do dessert fondue? Chocolate?
Yes, and that was good too.
Yeah, meat's not great.
The meats, you're boiling meat.
How is that not great? Well, you're like deep frying it, right? Because it's oil. It's not.
We had a broth.
Oh,
we did it in broth.
Yeah.
Just meh.
My parents have done fondue with us when we were little. We loved it. We got to, you know, skewer a thing of meat and put it in a pot of boiling oil. And
yeah, see, I like that.
It was all exciting.
But
it tasted really good.
Yeah, but if you're paying for a huge meal, it gets really heavy after a while. So
yeah.
It's like Tejanos or something, a Brazilian.
Yeah.
Chuscaria. How
what?
Do you say that?
Tejanos, which is a Brazilian. I forget.
Eating building?
Chuscaria or something.
It's like a meat house. I don't know.
It's the way they say
it. It's a meat house.
Yep.
I'm trying to think if there was anything that's exciting for me. It was my wife's birthday. I got her a BOSU ball. That's the most exciting thing that's gone on for me. I'm sure there's something else, but I can't think of what it was.
10 points if anyone knows what a BOSU ball is.
Well, this is exciting because I decided to wear my Mets hat today.
Oh, yeah? Did they make it into the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah?
First time in 8 years.
Yeah? Same with the Cubs. First time in like 50 years.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be awesome if the Mets and the Cubs met in the NLCS, which is the National League Championship Series?
That'd be awesome. Sure, that'd be great.
All right.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you for reading.
Let's take a break and we'll do articles of news, and include in it, we'll do our review of Women's Conference from Saturday, and then we'll also talk about Elder Richard G. Scott's funeral. That's coming up here in the second half of Articles of News.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Are you running Windows 8 or 10 and annoyed as heck with the start screen with all those giant, unfamiliar, obnoxious tiles that confuse the heck out of you? Do you want your computer to feel like good old Windows 7 again, where it was simple and easy to use? Well, I'm going to fix that problem for you for free. Bring in your desktop or laptop PC, no matter what brand it is, running Windows 8 or 10 into any PC Laptops location, and I'll give you a 100% free program that will make your computer run as easy as pie again. There are no strings attached. It's 100% free, so you have nothing to lose. Why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. Run into any PC Laptops location right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we love you.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, and because I want to put this right here so I don't have to look for it, hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about we did a thing on the, there's like a secret panel for everyone that participates in the Cultural Hall, and put the word out about going to Elder Scott's funeral, which was today, just got over about an hour and 15 minutes ago. And so Janae and I ended up going to
was Elder it 11 Scott's to noon? Funeral.
11 to noon, which
they kept it to an hour. That's awesome.
Which I was just going to say, you know the church is true because they don't mess around. Like, they were ready to start before 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Couple minutes, and they wouldn't start.
But they did a broadcast. They were broadcasting.
It was broadcast.
So,
but they didn't. So they didn't start early, and they were done right on time. It was beginning, and you knew what you were doing.
Yep.
I've been to enough funerals where it's like, and then, and you're like, nope.
Well, you know, yeah. If all funerals were broadcast, they'd stick to a
yeah.
But
that's how you know the church is true. Keep the funerals under an hour.
There you go.
Well, at least the one sponsored by the church.
Right. What did you think of it?
Honestly, I thought it was incredible. It was really, really good. And I guess I feel a little silly saying that because it's like, oh, would it be anything but incredible? It's, you know.
So did his son talk?
One of his sons spoke. Elder Christofferson spoke. And
did you know Elder Christofferson was a missionary?
Yes. I was so surprised. He was one of his, under Elder Scott. Under Elder Scott.
And where was it? In Chile?
Nope, Argentina. Other things that I thought were interesting. It was the first time that I'd seen President Nelson be called President Nelson, because he used to be President Packer. But now, because Boyd K. Packer passed away, it's now President Nelson. And so that was kind of...
He's a spry 90.
No, he's like 86.
No, he's 90.
Elder Nelson is?
Yes.
Okay. He is a spry 90 then. He
has so much energy still.
Yeah, I was amazed. I was amazed listening to him. And though maybe I'm creating it in my own mind, like, you could see that there... Or I could feel a difference in hearing him speak. Maybe not. And then the only other thing, because it was all good and it was fun to hear President Monson talk about his friend and, you know, how he exemplified the life of Christ. But the other thing that really stuck out to me was the music was really amazing.
I was just about to say, I don't know if I have ever heard
he's 91
Tabernacle Choir sound as good as they did today. Yeah. Ever.
Russell Nelson just turned 91.
Okay, President Nelson now 91.
Isn't that crazy?
He doesn't look 91.
Nor I know.
Nor does he act it.
He's born a handsome older gentleman.
But yeah, he was really good. Music was great. I mean, people can check it out. I don't know that I'm gonna go over too much. The only other thing that I thought interesting of note was that Elder Scott had two children pass away within 2 months of each other.
When he was hard to hear.
Yeah.
One passed away during birth, and the other one from a heart defect. A 2-year-old and a
And then his wife died of cancer.
Yeah, at 65, never remarried.
Nope.
But
stayed faithful to her.
But just loved her. If you get married, you're not being unfaithful.
I know, but that was his thing. Is he just couldn't get remarried. People encouraged him all the time to get remarried, and he just couldn't do it. And do you know Elder Scott would memorize his talks?
Really? He was one of
those?
He
wouldn't read from... I think the prompter was there, but if you watch him in his talks, he looks directly at the camera.
Really?
And then also, all his talks in Spanish, when they dubbed it, they didn't have a guy
it was him.
In the
he
booth.
Spoke
it was
Spanish.
Him doing it.
That's so cool.
And it was in his voice, because I was on my mission, and I was like, oh, Elder Scott speaking in our language, you know? And he's just like... You say que el evangelio es verdadero.
Which means what?
I know the gospel is true.
Hmm.
And appropriately, have you guys seen that video where the guy is rock climbing and Elder Scott's talking about the rock climbing analogy?
Yeah.
We watched
Not
that for Sunday school.
Time.
We did that in Sunday school yesterday. I thought it was appropriate.
Like a tribute to him?
Yeah.
Cool.
Plus, it was also in the lesson manual for that day.
Plus, it was part of the lesson.
Yeah, but it's an analogy about rock climbing by yourself. You have those free climbers who don't have any belays, who don't have any
equipment.
They're just doing it by themselves. And then he talks about the analogy about having rock climbing with a partner, having the rope, being secure. And it's all about we can't do this all on our own. We have to have support. We have to have people around us to lift us up. And also the gospel, Jesus, they bring us up too.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
Cool.
Elder Scott, good man.
Okay, so Women's Conference. Give me a short version. People can follow us on Twitter and also on Instagram. We will be sharing and have already shared a couple of memes with quotes from Women's Conference. Janae Manite said that she will make a couple more, so those will be made available, right?
Yep.
And she'll also do it with ones from General Conference this weekend. So you got a busy weekend ahead of you, pal.
I know. We're going to make just a whole meme party.
You better make your cake pops early.
No, I really will have to.
you better.
Yeah. No, Women's Conference was excellent, as it always is. And it was the first time I got to live tweet for the Cultural Hall, so that was fun to get.
And you did a great job. Once you figured out that you were not tweeting on the right Twitter account.
I touched on my phone the Cultural Hall account. I did it. I know I did, but for whatever reason.
How long until you realized you were?
Oh, it was like halfway through.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about it. I felt really stupid.
Yeah.
I felt like I let you down.
But then you got it.
Well,
and now you'll never do it again because you'll worry about it way too much.
Probably. If you'll ever give me another opportunity
to tweet. You bet. I don't know. What I pay you is pretty steep, so I'll have to reconsider it.
But no, it was wonderful. We had some really, I just have to say, Sister Wixom, her talk was excellent, and she just had this incredible energy and light about her.
And she doesn't speak like a sister, right? She doesn't do the sister speak.
Okay, I will say this. She started out with, like, the first words out of her mouth were, I love you, sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. And it was said with a lot of emotion and energy and enthusiasm.
And she is Relief Society president?
She is the young... Oh, darn it. See, you've got me on the spot. I think she's the Young Women General President.
I'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you. And so I wondered, like, if it was going to be... My husband always... makes fun of the sweet sister.
She's the primary president.
Started off. Oh, she's primary. Okay. Whoever years ago started off her talk with, I love exclamation points.
Mm-hmm. She said that?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm glad I don't remember who it was because... Anyway, it was a little over the top, and so I wondered if I wondered if Sister Wixom was going to go that to you know swing that whatever, mm-hmm. but no, it was just wonderful. It was like you know you're watching on a screen Sister Wixom, but she really did communicate that she loved us. Hmm. She absolutely did.
She loved
the gospel. She loved her Savior, and she had, you know, some important things to share with us, and it really was wonderful.
McConkie, too, right? Pretty
Sister
good?
McConkie, yes. Oh, so good. Like, really, everybody, there wasn't anyone, I don't think, that got up and was like, well...
Well, no, and like you, and it's not like you'd call it out and be like, yeah, and then Sister Hales got up. What a load that was. That was terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're going to say that, but...
No, but they all did a great job. And of course, I don't have it in front of me, so I forget the names, but I forget her name, but the one who she had to give us the talk, like a chastity talk.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And she seriously had to, like, the poor thing was, she even said partway through, she was like, I had great anxiety, I think is what she said, in having to prepare this talk. And it wasn't necessarily... because I have to talk on this subject. It was just great anxiety over, you know, the subject matter itself. But I just had to laugh because I was like, I would have felt great anxiety too if I had to give all the sisters in the church
the chastity talk.
It was just our bodies are temples and sacred and they're gifts and they're not to be shared with anybody but the one person that you have chosen to, you know, commit yourself to for the rest of eternity, or at the very least, you know, lawfully married for time here on earth. And so it was, and I think it was good. I think it was timely and really good because we're kind of headed in a direction I personally feel as a church where we're trying to women were so beat down for a long time and you know made to feel badly about certain things and women beat themselves up on their own so much that there was lots of like build you up, it's okay, don't feel guilty, don't, you're okay, you're good enough. And but now we're kind of going towards it's okay to dress immodestly just as long as you're at church and you're you know that's not what defines you and whatever,
right?
Oh, it's okay if you kind of mess up with morals and whatnot because there's repentance and it's okay. And those are all, you know, good things to highlight, but we've kind of gotten heavy-handed about it,
okay.
Just in my opinion, to where it's a lot of us are feeling like, oh, it's all right if I wear this, like, really inappropriate thing that I know my Heavenly Father really doesn't want me to wear because it's unkind of people to judge me and I'm just gonna whatever. Or it's okay if I mess up, you know, go a little too far with this boy because... it's really not a big deal. I can repent and it's not the end of the world and you know, it's fine.
Yeah. The delicate balance of...
Yeah.
You can repent.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Yes, absolutely. But you get what she's saying though, right? It's like, bah, you know, I can.
But what also needs to... I don't know if they ever say this, is they need to talk to the parents too. I've heard so many horror stories with parents who are just like so ashamed of that their child decided to stray or have sex outside of a marriage and all this stuff. It's probably it'll be done in general conference, but I think that's also a big thing that it's not just, you know, the sinner or whatever. Hate the sin, love the sinner, but you also need to embrace your children when they do go astray and not be so ashamed that they did something. Because I've just heard these horror stories online about these type of situations. And so,
you don't want to shun your children. You want to
Take
them in your arms and love them and help them, you know, correct the path that they've been walking. But actually, it was interesting because one of the main points she made was that she was talking to everyone. She said something in there of no matter your age kind of thing. And so not only was it people who are, you know, the youth that are, you know, more apt to make some mistakes along the way. But even, you know, even adults, it's like you've got to step up your game and make sure that we're all doing what we're supposed to. I just thought it was interesting because in a women's conference, that's not a talk that we've had for years and years. It's mostly just, you know, the easier, lighter hearted topics of that. Just, you know, you guys are all great. Yeah. And those are wonderful. And
no, but it's good.
I think it was good.
It's about time you get the equivalent of the porn talk for the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I don't know if it was equal to, but it was a very good talk. And then Elder President Uchtdorf. Oh my goodness. That man.
The women love the silver fox. Yeah, I know.
He's the silver fox. But he's wonderful. And whatever it is, whether it's.
What did he talk on?
He just gave a story. He just told his entire talk was the dialogue between two women. It was just the whole talk was a story. I mean, he opened up with saying, like,
I'm President Uchtdorf, and now I'll tell you a story.
He's like, I'm happy to be here, and you guys are all great, and we all fawned, and Elder Uchtdorf said that we were great, and giggled and such. But then he told us this wonderful story of a little girl named Ava, and how her mother had to have an operation. And so for the summertime, she was going to be sent to live with her great aunt Rose.
Oh, so that's where the connection was.
And yeah, while her mother had the operation and then recovered. So she was off to go live with great aunt Rose for an entire summer, which is a long time. And she did all these horrible things, like, she's going to be awful and I don't even know her. And I've, you know, obviously don't want to leave my mom and I'm going to miss her and be lonely, all these things. And she just, you know, obviously over time came to really enjoy and love Great Aunt Rose. The story is excellent, but you find out at the end of the story that Great Aunt Rose really had no reason to be the wonderful, incredible woman that she was, the happy, you know, positive, really outstanding woman that she was. She hadn't gotten married. She'd had quite a few, you know, tough things happen in her life. And so Great Aunt Rose taught Ava a lot about faith and hope. It was an amazing, just excellent story. And Elder Uchtdorf did a wonderful job. And so that was definitely, I think, the highlight for me was his story. And I can't wait to go get the transcript and read it again.
Cool.
It was just wonderful.
Let's do some news. I'll go ahead and start.
You can't lose. Richie's on the news.
This last week, it was 20 years ago that the Proclamation to the Family was issued.
Wow.
20 years ago, President Gordon B. Hinckley presented the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the family, a proclamation to the world. Since then, the family proclamation has become one of the most important official documents that the Church has released in its 184 years of existence. With the recent decisions on same-sex marriage by the U.S. Supreme Court, the proclamation has been thrust into the forefront of discussion by church members and others, both supporters and naysayers. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, along with many other churches, organizations, and individuals, will continue to defend the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman because it is a compelling moral issue of profound importance to our religion and to the future of our society. On the Mormon Newsroom.org blog Wednesday, Virginia Pierce, Hinckley's daughter and a former second counselor in the LDS Church's Young Women Auxiliary, recalled the moment when the prophet read the proclamation in LDS Women's Conference. Pierce said she recently pulled up the actual video on the September conference and listened again to the Relief Society leadership. I had forgotten that that's where that they announced it. It was given first in the Women's Conference.
Wow.
Before I knew it, the meeting moved on to President Hinckley, and how can I not respond to the voice that all during the years of my childhood awakened me in the morning and was the steady backdrop to our chatter at the dinner table. On that evening in 1995, and even now, his voice awakens additional trust and comfort because layered onto the familiar relationship is my God-given witness that he stood at the podium as a prophet. So that's kind of cool.
Cool. That's really cool.
Can you explain on the Culture Hall site, you said something about follow the prophet Thomas Monson. There's a verse for Thomas Monson and follow the prophet. What are you talking about?
You know the song, Follow the Prophet.
Did they make a new one up?
Yeah, there's a Thomas S. Monson version, and I'm pretty sure that the ward that I heard sing it it up themselves.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it
Thomas
was terrible.
Thomas S. Monson was a prophet, the 77th one, or what, that we know.
No, he just tells us stories, and they're really fun. I don't know.
And what's her crazy name? Who predicted the end of the world yesterday?
Julie Rowe.
Julie Rowe's not a prophet. She just is a member. She had a vision. It wasn't true. Don't follow her. She is leading you astray. Just follow the guy in charge of the church. Follow the prophet.
It seriously was like that. But the syllables were more forced.
They were forced.
It was like fun. It was like, oh my gosh.
President Thomas S. Monson likes to have fun.
Yeah, it was awful. The primary program was great. That forced version of that song,
not so great.
I loved your verse you just made up. I loved that.
So speaking of the world did not end yesterday.
Julie Rowe never said that it was gonna. It was the extremists that read her book and said, "We know we're gonna say this date." She never.
But
did.
What I've heard is she's done Firesides.
But she's never set a date as far as I know.
I know. But a lot of people interpreted yesterday as one of the
days. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that she's ever, until it came to the forefront in the last couple of weeks, had never said, no, I'm not saying this. She kind of allowed people to believe what they will believe.
But she allowed him.
Are we talking about the blood moon?
What?
The blood moon, yeah.
The blood moon?
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. My husband, made a bed out on the lawn, and we, watched
it.
Oh,
that's romantic.
It was cool.
Did Mickey Mouse come?
No, but our son couldn't find us in the house. It was so sad. Our son got up out of bed and he was wandering around the house Mom? Dad? And he's just sobbing when I went in to get a jacket. I was so he came and watched it with us.
Aww. So we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to chime in too. We've talked about Jesus of Christ. Everybody's like, have you read Jesus of Christ? I don't know. Have you read Jesus of Christ?
Yeah, by Talmadge.
I've read
it. It was 100 years. I've read it too.
Okay. And
time I'd ever heard of the Sanhedrin.
The Sanhedrin, yeah. So, do you remember the Missionary Reference Library, Richie? Those five books
that you were allowed
that
to
would
read
sit,
it was...
that would sit on your shelf in your apartment. It was in every missionary's apartment.
Yeah. It was Our Search for Happiness.
Good. That's one.
Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
Articles of Faith.
Yes. And the two others are harder. Truth Restored, Gospel Principles.
Yeah.
And A Marvelous Work in a Wonder.
Yeah. I read all of them.
I think I read three or four out of them. And my favorite one out of the four was Our Search for Happiness, written by...
Julie Rowe?
No. Not Julie Rowe.
Elder Ballard.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know this.
And that was my favorite one. Truth Restored, Gospel Principles, written by Gordon B. Hinckley.
Okay.
Articles of Faith by Talmadge. Jesus Christ by Talmadge. And then what was the other one?
Man's Search.
McConkie wrote... No. No. I forget what the other one was. Anyway.
They were good. I read all of them.
Yeah, I think I read... But Jesus of Christ is deep.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's just it totally breaks down his life. And anyway, so I just wanted to chime in on that.
Okay.
So do you know what's opening back up on September 30th?
On September 30th? No, I don't know. What's opening
back up? The Church History Museum.
Oh, nice.
They've been restoring it for about a year, I think. I think they closed it. And they've been redoing all the exhibits and everything.
Portions of it, yeah.
But they closed the entire museum down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been closed.
Okay.
And so it opens back up to the public. And they have Miracles of Christ, Museum Treasures. This is just on their website. Martin Harris, the great benefactor. Do you know who that guy is?
Martin Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon.
Just making sure.
Okay.
Just making sure.
Okay.
Richie knows his history.
Yeah.
Exodus Design in the American West.
Yeah,
Sermons of a Palmyra Preacher.
Cool.
So anyway, so that opens up on September 30th.
Hey, Cultural Hall field trip.
Okay.
When that opens up.
That's 2 days from today, you realize, right?
Well,
all right.
I mean at some point.
Okay.
Just after
after, not for the opening.
Here's another thing that's happening. October 20th.
Okay.
Do you know what that day is?
Almost
Halloween. Yay!
We know what?
It's my birthday.
Okay.
And the piano guys are doing a face-to-face youth activity.
Oh, face-to-face online.
Yeah, kind of like the David Archuleta did.
Yeah, when is it going to be our turn? And the Lindsay Sterling did it, too.
Yeah,
I wish I was a musician. Dude. I could do face-to-face.
Yeah, when are the Imagine Dragons going to do it?
Yeah, when are they going to do it?
Brandon Flowers.
Yeah. Who's in town tonight?
He is?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He's doing a show over at the place.
Are you taking us?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, well, that's where we're going right after this.
Have you worked that angle yet?
I've tried.
You've tried.
Believe me, I've tried.
Yeah, he'll be on the show later.
But yeah, piano guys are doing the worldwide activity. I believe it's a live event. What they usually do will be streamed live on October 20th at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. For those of you who live in the East, 8 o'clock. For those of you who live in Hawaii, I don't know. Youth can join the conversation on this page and the LDS Youth Facebook page. The event can be a mutual activity. Hey!
So you can do... We'll find the link at theculturalhall.com. Will you make sure and send that to me?
Yes. About the piano guys, do you guys know who they are?
Sure!
They're episode what?
Yeah, we had him on.
I know. I'm
I
just
love
kidding.
That episode, actually. Really good.
What's the piano guy's name?
John Schmidt.
Yeah, John Schmidt, and then the cello guy is...
I forget the cello.
Cello guy, Mick Cello.
Steve Sharp.
Yeah. Steve Sharp.
Then Paul Anderson and Al Vanderbeek.
Yeah.
So they will be a part of that.
Have you guys seen their video on... they did the Kung Fu Panda score?
Yes.
No.
So good. Wow. So good, and my son loves it. Both my sons.
Your little ones?
My little ones. I think he loves it because at the very end, he smacks himself in the face with his cello bow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny and cute.
Just Let Go. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, it's...
Just Let It Go, Just Let It Go.
It's called the Frozen Initiative, isn't it?
No, it's not. Oh. Today... this new film, Just Let Go, will show for one night only, that's tonight, on 450 screens nationwide. It's a sneak peek before it opens for a limited release in Mormon areas on October 9th.
And this is about the husband whose wife was killed by a drunk driver?
Chris Williams' pregnant wife and two of their children, yes. Then ages 9 and 11, were killed.
Yep.
Oh, goodness.
I remember when that happened. I was driving in that area.
Oh.
And I remember the road was closed, and we were like, what happened? And we had to be diverted around it.
The movie chronicles the true story of Chris's amazing path toward forgiving the driver. The one-night event aims to create a national discussion about the nature and necessity of forgiveness within individuals, communities, and even nations. In addition to the full-length feature, audiences will experience commentary, discussion, and a performance by renowned worship pastor and Christian recording artist Lincoln Brewster. The reason why they did it on Monday is hopefully that people would go out and do it for family home evening. But the film is called Just Let Go, and the star of it, anyone?
It's Gary Cole.
Nope.
Dang it.
Henry Ian Cusick. Do you know who that is?
Yeah. It's Desmond.
Desmond.
Desmond's lost brother.
He's also in Scandal as well. And then also in the film is Sam Sorbo, who is...
Kevin Sorbo's little brother.
Kevin Sorbo's wife.
Oh, dang.
Kevin Sorbo, recently in the film Spirit of the Game, which Darren Scott, who is episode 189,
yeah, about
that.
The Mormon, what is it? The
Mormon Yankees, the basketball
the
team
Yankees.
In Australia. So
they
that's kind of cool.
Could they not get Kirby Hayborn?
No.
Or my favorite, Corbin Allred?
No.
No. But they got Desmond, brother. Because he just let it go, brother.
Either of you guys watched Quantico last night?
I recorded it.
Quantico.
Is the Garmin episode last night or was it tonight? It was last night.
Yeah.
Did it happen? Ooh. Did it make the final cut?
As I understand it, I have not yet had the chance to see it.
I'll watch it and report.
It's a story of this. At the center of the story is Alex Parrish, a confident woman headed for Quantico, Virginia to undergo FBI training. We meet a disparate group of fellow trainees.
A disparate?
Disparate.
Disparate.
It's not desperate. It's disparate. D-I-S.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
That's a word?
Uh-huh. Who are all seriously flawed in one way or another. Then we jump ahead 9 months to the aftermath of the worst terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11, and one of these trainees is responsible. Alex is the prime suspect, although she clearly didn't do it. Anyway, there's a whole Mormon angle. One of the guys is Mormon, and you see him in his garments. Fun, huh?
Fun. Super fun.
What's the character's last name? Anybody?
Smith.
Yep.
Young.
Nope, Smith.
Johnson.
Mangum.
Christensen.
It's, it's Smith. I told you already.
Mangum.
Mangum. Christensen.
Not just there defensive because we see him wearing nothing but temple garments, a.k.a. Mormon underwear, but because the plot line for him is just plain stupid, writes this review.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? His plot line is he drinks caffeine and Coke.
Stupid.
He's got like a...
Try some coffee there, Agent Smith. It'll make you feel better.
We're your friends.
Come on, Agent Smith. Drink some coffee.
This from Santa Clara. Do you guys know where that is? Down by St. George, Southern
George.
Utah.
Yes.
A French restaurant located in the historic and now restored granary, an old Mormon granary, has now become a French restaurant. That's it. That's the only reason I shared that story.
You know where Santa Clara's close to?
St. George?
Hurricane. Do you know what's in Hurricane? Swig.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They have Dirty Diet Cokes there. Yeah. So much better than So Delicious.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, they were so good. Oh.
Jenny's going to kill
And then they
you.
Have these like cookies there. Oh my God. Those are amazing.
They're way better than the Scotcheroo. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I hope Swig has like franchises all over the state.
The LDS Film Festival. Is seeking entries for the 15th annual LDS Film Festival. Put this on your calendar.
Let's make a short. Remember that short we wanted to make?
Which one?
We just need to get people.
The Rick Steadman Mormon Detective?
There's that.
Okay.
That's you.
Yeah.
The one I want to make is just a really stupid three Nephite one.
Where
we just have Nephites, and it's just like, we just do these reenactments, and there I was on the road.
And I got a toothbrush.
Yeah. And he fixed my tire, and I turned around, and he was gone. And then it just devolves into like the most dumb things. And there I was. And my meter on my parking meter ran out. And then somebody put a cord on it. And I turned around and he was gone. And then there's just
your
a feather.
Guys' racially ambiguous extra.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we would insist.
But I think that'd be funny. Just do like a 5 minute and it's just like all of them. And then just get more and more ridiculous. Like somebody cleaning up. Something after you.
I love it.
There was a tissue left on the table, and suddenly
they cleaned it up.
It's the 2nd through the 5th. It's going to be housed at the Sierra Center for the Arts in Orem. The deadline, if you're putting a film in, Rob.
Oh, crap. Sarah.
The LDS Film Festival.
Sierra.
All the Oremites are very upset right now.
Sierra.
As am I.
Yes, as she is.
Regular entry is December 14th. The extended deadline, Monday, January 11th, which doesn't make any sense because why wouldn't I just wait for the extended deadline? But whatever. The festival is independently organized and not affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, although it's called the LDS Film Festival. The submission categories are feature film, short film, family film, and special screenings. And there's a 24-hour filmmaking marathon that's a part of it. So mark it on your calendar now, the 2nd through the 5th of 2016.
Is there
mark this on your
video?
Calendar.
Oh, what? Is there not a music video section, like category?
No.
No? Oh, dang.
But you should submit one. It'd be a short video.
I want to make a music video.
I think you should.
So badly.
For what?
With the cultural hall.
I think that sounds like a terrible
idea. I say we make a music video about the 5th verse of Follow the Prophet.
Yeah. And he had some fun.
Don't forget, September 25th through October 9th, We Are His Hands, an exhibit celebrating children's service from around the world, is at the Joseph Smith Memorial Building lobby.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is. Check that out. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, you know, your homeboy, Rob.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people hate him.
He echoed Pope Francis's remarks to Congress calling for more inclusion within religion and urging a compromise over extremism. Reid, a Nevada Democrat and one of the highest-ranking Mormons in public office, said taking a hard line with regard to faith can lead to dangerous results, stretching a religious belief to the opposite of its intention. In the name of Catholicism and absolutism, we had the Crusades, horrible things done in the name of religion, Reid said. We now have, in the Middle East, ISIS, in the name of religion, doing the most atrocious things that a person could do to another being. Reid, who spoke at the University of Virginia's inaugural Joseph Smith Lecture on Religious Liberty, noted that Francis cautioned against violence perpetrated in the name of religion and holding simplistic views that see only good or evil, if you will, the righteous and the sinners. The contemporary world with its open wounds, which affect too many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization with which would divide it into these two camps, the Pope said Thursday in a historic speech to Congress. Reid said religion has been challenged with issues such as same-sex marriage and abortion, but the people of faith shouldn't use wedge issues to divide people. There's a lot of compromise in religion, Reid said, as there should be. A pretty cool talk, too. If you go to theculturalhall.com, you can read all of Harry Reid's talk from that University of Virginia, that first talk on the Joseph Smith Lecture on Religious Liberty. Check it out at theculturalhall.com. What else?
So we're talking about the blood moon.
Uh-huh.
Then we're talking about that it signifies the end of the world.
Right.
Did you hear that in your absence Sunday school, because you teach Sunday school in our ward,
right,
that the other teacher was talking about the blood moon and all of the different, I don't know, when the last one was, when the next one will be. And he looked at everyone and was like, so there might be some validity to the end of the world.
Really?
Yeah. And so a member of our bishopric had to be like, I will have to just let you all know that you're still going to, everybody's still going to be alive to see, what did he say? To watch General Conference next week.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, but speaking of the end of the world and such, do we remember who Meta Ivy Harrison is?
Sure.
Yes. Why do I?
Rob's
sorry, I'm doing my research.
Else.
Sorry.
Rob's over there giggling in the corner.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a couple moments, police beat. We haven't done this in a while.
Be you be. Okay.
We got some good ones.
I love.
All right. Pay attention.
Computers.
Be respectful. This is good.
I am.
The lady is speaking, if I can be called a lady, I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
You know. Meta Ivy Harrison, why is she cool? Why is she cool? For so many reasons.
Triathlete, right?
I think she's cool, so cool? Yep, she's Iron Mom.
Yeah.
She wrote the book Iron Mom.
She's written a couple other books, too, right?
I'm sure she's written. She's so smart and accomplished and all of that fun stuff, but my favorite one is I Own Iron Mom. So, Meta Ivy Harrison, she wrote an article, just barely, Confessions of a Mormon Doomsday Prepper.
This was for Huffington Post. She's writing for them now.
That's so cool.
And she's no longer a prepper, but she really bought into it for a while.
For a while. It wasn't necessarily, I mean, she just took food storage and such to like the next level. Mm-hmm. She kind of talks about how she probably took it a little bit too far and whatnot. So she had her supply. With her family, they would spend 1 month where they didn't go grocery shopping at all, and they would just live off of what they had, which is, I think, actually really good practice.
Sure.
Then there was like a few days or even up to a week where they would pretend that the end of the world had happened, and they really, like, they didn't, oh gosh, I wish I would have highlighted it.
Me
here.
Too.
She, me too. Get on with it, Janae. Get on with it.
Not on with it. Just encouraging
anyway,
you.
She just took it to the next level where they could eat nothing but what was in there.
So pretty extreme, but probably a great practice to know, hey, how am I going to put all this stuff together?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things for me as I... do your parents have the things of wheat, Rob? The canisters of wheat in their basement?
I think they did, yeah.
I always think it's funny because I think of like... You know, the end of the world coming or a terrible earthquake and people going, hey, cool, I got my food storage. And then they go down and they're like,
it's just
what am I doing?
It's just a barrel of wheat.
Yeah, what am I doing?
Just
to
have water. Yay.
I've got a trash can.
I'm
going to
make a nice paste of this.
Okay, so she says, I spent a month every year practicing doomsday with my family where we tried out what we would like to like to eat while we survived. And for 4 years, we did not shop for food for an entire month. And we survived on just the homemade whole wheat bread, rice, beans, whatever they had. And I read books about the apocalypse to my children, including the wonderful and haunting Life as We Knew It. So she scared her children to death. They would have like nightmares and such about whenever the world was going to fall apart.
Sure, because that stuff gets creepy for people.
It does get creepy for people, but it's rather entertaining, and she has a lighthearted twist, you know, about, she's like, well, at least, you know, the money we saved and whatever will be able to pay for my children's
therapy
and such like.
Therapy.
Such like that.
What other stories do you have?
Let's see. BYU freshman injured in freak bounce house accident.
That's going to be the last story, so what else? You have anything else?
So there's that really interesting story that Brant posted about on the Mormon News Report about the bishop who's been had a restraining order taken out on him.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I want like the extra details. Do you want me to pull it up?
Why don't we save it? Can you, will you help us remember? We'll save it, and I'll either do it as the intro for this Friday's episode or next week articles of news. Will you help me remember? Because people are going to want to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kay.
What other stories do you have, Rob? You got the police beat. Okay, I got two quick stories then. One, Sister Wives. Do you ever guys, you guys ever watch that show on TLC?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you really watch it?
I've watched a couple of them.
So one of the wives is getting divorced. These are FLDS people. One of the wives
Which
is
one?
Leaving.
The pretty
and,
one.
They're all pretty ish. but one of the kids joining the mainstream LDS church.
Oh, way to go. We got one.
We got one. We're winners.
It's okay. It's all right. We'll take care of you.
And then this. The number of LDS teenagers who finished reading the assigned book of scripture in the church's youth seminary program rose 33% last year, according to new data. Nearly 80% of students in the United States and other countries on a North American school calendar finished the entire Doctrine and Covenants. That was one of two new toughened graduation standards introduced during the 2014-2015 school year. We've tried to track reading for a number of years now, and we've never seen a jump like this, said Chad Webb, administrator of seminaries and institutes. We're very happy with how our students have responded, and our teachers encouraging them. For the first time, students also needed to pass an assessment at the end of each semester. Data collected last week showed 81% of students on the North American calendar passed the assessments. So a tremendous amount of success as far as seminaries go.
What would you attribute the jump?
I think they said that it would be because they have increased it. My guess would be, and this is a cynical look at it, if they're saying that now you have to read the whole book in order to graduate, and whereas before they said we'd really encourage you to do it, I think it's a lot of people going, yeah, I read it. You bet I did.
Sure I did.
Yes, I did.
Got my reading in.
I got to graduate, right? I have to do this to graduate, right? Okay, I read it. Unfortunately, the cynic in me, I'm sure that there's some of that, and I'm sure that the teachers are being more encouraging to read it. So I'm sure that some... I'm sure that there is an uptick in percentage, but I'm sure that some of it accounts to you have to do this in order to graduate.
Did you guys read all your assignments in seminary?
Assignments, yes, but we didn't have to read the whole books of scripture.
Oh, really?
Like, I never had to read the whole Old Testament when we studied the Old Testament.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, it was a challenge.
I think we had.
Well, you're from Utah County. You're from Utah County, so that doesn't
surprise me. Their standards are high.
Yeah. Talking about religious extremism.
Church responds to inquiries about preparedness. They actually put out an official response for the Mormon newsroom.
I wondered if they were going to or not.
In response to several news media inquiries, the church recently issued the following statement. The church encourages our members to be spiritually and physically prepared for life's ups and downs. For many decades, church leaders have counseled members that where possible, they should gradually build a supply of food and water, financial resources to ensure they are self-reliant during disasters and normal hardships that are part of life, including illness, injury, or unemployment. This teaching to be self-reliant has been accompanied by the Council of Church Leaders to avoid being caught up in extreme efforts to anticipate catastrophic events. The writings and speculations of individual church members, some of which have gained currency recently, should be considered as personal accounts or positions that do not reflect the church doctrine. And please do not make up songs about them.
Fun.
That was the last thing.
All right, do the police beat for me.
Okay, you guys, we got some really good ones. So a lot of bikes were stolen.
Wait, so what this is Rob this likes is the to police read, like the police blotter from BYU, the campus of BYU.
BYU. So a lot of bikes were stolen, so please, kids, lock your bikes. A male student reported on September 12th, a male student reported a blue Nike pull-string bag containing sunglasses, a sweatshirt, and a white shirt stolen or lost after the football game. The bag was estimated at how many dollars?
$110.
Seven.
$5. Janae's the winner.
What do I win, Rob?
All right, well, you got 1 point. Okay. Two students were playing soccer at the Richards Building field, and the ball went over a fence onto the street. One student retrieved the ball and saw a black car with a silver rim stop. An occupant grabbed the ball and drove away.
That's awesome.
The soccer ball is valued at
$20.
$17.
What? 18? She deals the high?
Yeah.
Janae's the winner. It was $40.
Jeez.
Wait, that's a really nice soccer ball.
I know. That's why they had to report it.
Gold inlaid.
And that guy in the black car with the silver rims. Yeah. Mm.
Ooh, $40 soccer ball. Hold on, let me just pull over.
It's a football.
A female left her backpack unattended in Wilkinson Center. Someone came in, opened the backpack, and removed the Mac laptop valued at...
$900.
Oh, no. Well, if you've got the Mac, you can... Isn't there a Find My Mac app?
Yes, she didn't use it. I don't know.
$900.
I wish there was a...
Janae?
A diaper bag. A Find My Diaper Bag app.
What's value?
Oh, of the MacBook?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what did you say?
I'm not telling.
$900?
He said $900.
Oh, can I not?
Come on, Price is Right me and say 901.
Let's do, we'll do 901. Maybe she had a
1500. Janae.
Oh!
Janae 3, Richie
that's
0.
That's a nice one.
This is assault. September 12th, during the football game, a man wearing a Boise State football jersey was attacked from behind. The attacker ripped the top of his shirt. The man did not see the attacker and did not get hurt. An investigation is in progress.
That's lame.
$18 shirt.
$18.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Good job.
Good job.
This one is mysterious fraud. September 12th. A lot of stuff happened on September 12th.
If you're going to hit someone, hit them right in the face.
Just
right?
Be like...
Just walk up to him and hit him.
A 17-year-old boy from St. George uses father's credit card at Lavelle Edwards Stadium to purchase water. Just water. About an hour later, two purchases were made on the card, but this time at an AutoZone in Tijuana, Mexico.
Shut up.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
He went in a time machine or something to Tijuana at an AutoZone. An investigation.
Maybe it was just billed to Tijuana.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't actually there.
Tijuana.
I don't know.
Okay. This is called stupidity. A student recently called... Oh, actually, it's under fraud. Purchased a car with cash. He received a call... He recently purchased a car with cash. He received a call from somebody representing a corporation about an auto loan for a recent car purchase. The caller asked for the Social Security number, and he gave it to them.
Oh, no. No.
This is identity fraud.
Yeah.
Don't ever give away your credit card.
Yeah.
I mean,
with
your Social
IRS
Security.
And I'm going to need your Social Security number. I've had that one called to me before.
Okay.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
This one's bad. September 17th, outside the Wilkinson Center, trees were harmed by an advertisement for Chill Fest in Lehigh.
Yeah.
It was reported by a BYU administrator. The police are investigating.
They like trees use a staple gun or something?
Yeah, because they were stapled to the trees.
Stapled them to the trees.
Yes.
Those poor trees.
Estimated value of the trees.
Are they fully mature trees?
Yes, God's glory.
Yeah, God's
okay,
glory.
There you go. That's it. That's the police blotter for you.
All right, final story of the week, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. Support is pouring in from around the world for a BYU student involved in a tragic accident. And if anyone knows Josh Hinton, who we're about to tell you about, I'd love to sit down and talk to him.
I know his grandpa.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Let's get this connected,
who's
pal.
It? He's actually referenced in the article.
Josh Hinton was a ballet dancer and the student body president at his high school in Tooele. At BYU freshman orientation on August 29th, he ran through a bounce house obstacle course. You know, like you do.
Freshman orientation.
He hit his head on an inflatable post and went down. They said, "This is catastrophic, life-changing. He will never walk again or dance again," his mother, Jen Hinton, said. Josh Hinton broke his neck. "It's awful," said Adam Phillips, a physician's assistant at Utah Valley Regional Medical Center. "From the moment of impact, he knew he couldn't move or feel anything. In the ICU, with his life at stake, his mother was at his side. He has Alex Boyer on his phone, and I just put it softly, just barely by his ear, and you could just see him calm, and he could get a breath in," she said. Through social media, word got back to Phenom Boyer, who came to visit. He sang to him at his bedside. "That was amazing," Hinton said, from a stretcher and a neck brace with a team of healthcare professionals surrounding him. "It was one of the best days I've ever had in my life." Hinton was on his way to an ambulance outside the hospital on September 15th, and it took him to an air ambulance that transported him to the state-of-the-art rehab facility in Denver that specializes in head and spinal cord injuries. He takes with him a deep reservoir of faith and strength from his family. His sister Ashlyn snapped a photo as her brother and mother drove away in the ambulance. "Love ya," the mother said from the front seat. "Love you too. See ya," Ashley Hinton responded. They mean everything to me, Josh Hinton said. I wouldn't be able to get through this without them. I haven't been alone the whole entire time I've been here, and that's amazing. The accident happened at Brigham Square, the lawn that's just north of the main student center by the Wilkinson Center. Hinton struggled to breathe as they waited for an ambulance. The students around him dropped to their knees in prayer, and two students administered a blessing to him inside the bounce house while being careful not to touch or move him. It has been heartbreaking, but also amazing and full of love, Jen Hinton said of the family's experience. It doesn't make sense that you can be so brokenhearted and so full of love and gratefulness. Elder Dallin H. Oakes of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints visited Hinton in the hospital about the mission call that he'd been waiting for. Grandfather Adrian Hinton recalled the visit with tears in his eyes and said he looked him right in the eye and said, "We're holding this mission call for you, and when you're ready, we have another, better one for you." Adrian Hinton and his wife Michelle, who is also a nurse, took time off from their mission for the church in Palmyra, New York, to assist their grandson during the crisis. The morning of the accident, the immediate Hinton family went to the LDS Draper Temple and snapped a photo that they will cherish forever. 3 hours later, who knew, huh? Jen Hinton said. She believes that temple visit was good preparation for all the hardships and blessings that have followed. They've received an outpouring of love on Team Hinton on Facebook, and we'll provide a link to that at theculturalhall.com. Their missionary is praying for him in over 50 countries. All over the world, they put his name in the temple that's closest to them, and I don't know how he could even add up all the prayers that were said for Joshua. Amazingly, Joshua Hinton can move his wrists. He can stretch out his arms, his mom said. He had some feeling on his left heel when a doctor in Denver poked him. She didn't believe him, so she made him close his eyes and do a test, and it was true. Little steps forward every day. Doctors don't know if he'll ever walk or dance again, but Hinton and his family are staying positive. I really do feel the love a lot, he said. So hopefully a future guest here in the Cultural Hall. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that you lock up all personal belongings while on BYU campus.
Or that you don't leave your diaper bag in plain sight so that Janae's window gets smashed in.
We hope that you all can have fun.
That's nice. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we read.